I want to start by using the phrase that is used whenever we pray together as Christians and as monks, if you use the Divine Office, which is very ancient. And it's, O God, come to our assistance. O Lord, make haste to help us. It's so important to realize that from the mysteries of time, that people have realized this thing's going to start slipping down, I'm afraid. From the beginning of time, people have realized that we all need help. And I must confess, I feel like that today, because as I was sitting here and seeing this very august group of people, I thought, goodness gracious, I'm not really at the same level as many of you, so I'm saying things which are going to be not be too complicated. But I am very happy to represent all the Benedictines on this particular occasion, because there's no other one here, so you've got to put up with me. And the dialogue has been fostered by the Benedictines, and still is. And in this lovely book, which I, to my astonishment, have read from cover to cover, because I'm quite busy and it's not easy to read difficult books. It's not difficult to read, so there's a plug for it. It was very good also to be here, it is very good, with Muhammad Ali Shamali, who I first met in Liverpool Hope University 18 years ago, when he and I were in the same small group talking about the things of God in a Focolare meeting. We became friends. And surprisingly for me, who had never ever met a Muslim before at this kind of level, I was able to introduce Muhammad to my monastery at Ampleforth Abbey in Yorkshire, although I don't live there, I live in Lancashire, but I'm very much part of the community, through various events. I think it must have been in 1998 that the good Lord sent me the affliction of shingles. And after a time of rest with my brother in Cambridge, I was invited to come to Ampleforth by the abbot. He said, you must come here now and have some rest, because it's a disease which is caused by tension and so forth. Well, while I was there, it was then you came to York, and I went. I had the car, you see, that I'd taken off on trying to do my repose, and I was able to go. It's quite a long way from the Abbey to York, 23 miles, and I was able to meet Mohammed, and I was immediately, once again, very impressed. I won't go into it, but at that time, you only had two children, I think, and one of them was ill, and I said, well, there'll be some supper. I can't have supper. He said, I must do some praying for my son. Well, Abbot Timothy Wright was the abbot, and the story of these dialogues between Shia scholars, monks, and others have developed partly, and I think originally, because of that friendship with our abbot. This year, Dr. Shamali came to the Mariapolis in Liverpool, where he made a most important contribution to my own understanding of Christianity and my understanding of the charism of the Focolare movement. He had flown in especially from Tehran, I remember you saying that, to be present. Well, I've taken the train from Preston to London because I owe it to him to be present at this book launch. Sadly, as I am the mayor's chaplain this year, and tomorrow is the 11th of November, and we have a big event for the Armistice Day, and the council have put up a new memorial to commemorate the First World War, I have to be there, and so I must leave early. It is interesting that Muhammad said in Liverpool this year, being involved in dialogue started with my encounter with the Focolare. And I always thank the Focolare for being a very good window for understanding the Christian world. Those were your words. It sounds odd to say this, but I could echo those words as a Christian and as a Benedictine monk. I too must thank the Focolari for giving me an understanding of the Christian world strangely. Perhaps all of us need something outside the norm to stimulate us to understand the inner meaning of our own religions. Certainly for me, it was necessary. The Benedictine abbot primate Notke Wolf, in the introduction to this book, it's quite brief, his introductions, seems to imply that there has been a special grace. I think there is one here tonight, as a matter of fact. It makes me feel a bit awesome. A gift from God that over the last two decades, Benedictines and Shiite Muslims from Iran have come together and become friends. The background to this is perhaps an unnecessary but a real darkness of growing danger of terrorism and even war being extended to that which exists already. One of the things I have learnt as a Christian over the past 40 years, in an explicit way, is that if I am to be a disciple of Christ, I must love everybody without distinction, whoever I meet. So when Muhammad writes, also in his talk, which is the one he gave in Liverpool this year, when we were in Hope University, which I think was in 1997, next to me was sitting Father Jonathan, who was kind, and we had a good conversation. I would attribute that kindness that overcomes suspicion of others who are so different to me by my understanding that each human being is a gift for me, each human being, and there's no exceptions. In fact, St. Benedict in his holy rule says that each monk should consider himself lower and of less account than anyone else, and this not only in verbal protestation, but also with the most heartfelt inner conviction. That's in chapter 7 on the wonderful chapter on humility. Cardinal Hume was our abbot, and so I'm glad to mention him in Westminster. I knew him really quite well, because he was my abbot. And he put it this way: when you meet another person, realize that he or she has something in him or her that you do not have. And I think it's echoing St. Benedict. So thank God that on that occasion I was kind. I'm not sure I always am, but I was on that occasion, and it's led to great fruits. I simply did not know any Muslims, and I might have been suspicious of what I would have assumed is this rather strange religion, you see, that I did not understand. And sadly, I meet that suspicion still quite often with others, even in monastic life. It consoles me that Father William Skudlerek, I'm not sure if you pronounce it like that, but he's the Benedictine from America, I think he lives in Japan, who is co-editor of this book, found the same. If you read the afterword in this book, you'll find he had a great conversation with another monk, Benedictine monk, who said all that he was doing was a complete waste of time, more or less. Oh, I've come across that quite often. And so it's quite a good thing to be able to go beyond all that and to be convinced, as I am, that here we have something which is very important. There have been practical results, some small ones, it is true. In getting to know Muhammad and his wife, Manhaz, if that's right we're pronouncing it, and at the same time, there were two little boys then, and one day they invited me and a Focolarino, a chap called Giovanni Paganelli, who was staying with us in Leyland, to a wonderful evening meal in his house in Manchester. I think it must have been in 1998. In the personal knowledge that Muslims can be so involved in wanting to do what is so important for me, and that is to live and work for unity in every situation, I have become friends with the ordinary Muslims locally, and there are plenty in Lancashire, and with various imams. I am waiting to visit the recently founded mosque in Leyland. I discovered there was a mosque in Leyland because my Turkish friend and my barber, who is a Muslim, I said, is there a mosque in Leyland? Oh, yes. I said, well, who's the imam? Oh, he's got the shop next door. Oh, I said, has he? And he runs a men's outfitters. I suspect he's a Sunni. I think he's an Indian. He is Indian, I'm sure. I remember going to see him. We had a wonderful conversation. And he has been in Leyland about 30 years working on the market, but now he's got a shop. So the market has moved. It's now indoors. He has an upstanding family of 6 highly talented children. This is all the more important, as I know from another friend of mine who is a Catholic priest and a Columban father. They're missionaries, and they're very interested in trying to go to the edges of society, who lives in Birmingham. I was with him on Thursday last, and he is involved in the immigrant community in a big way there, that in the present situation of international tension and violence by groups like IS, which includes, in some cases, violence against Christians, that the local Muslims, at least in Birmingham, and for that matter, I'm sure all over Britain and Europe, are very afraid of what might be retaliation against themselves by white Europeans. I'm sorry to say. It's not unknown to us, because anybody who was a Catholic or an Irishman in the time of the IRA troubles had the same kind of thing pushed onto them. In those days, you know, that there was all that nonsense going on. Father William Skudlarek also writes about this, that the wells have been poisoned in regards to a perception of Islam by people who write with little knowledge of Islam. Interestingly, this phrase, that the wells of truth have been poisoned, he found from John Henry Newman over criticisms against himself. One of the basic tenets of Christianity is that the resurrection, let's call that the coming of the kingdom of God, only comes after the crucifixion of Jesus. And so in one way, we can expect and even look forward to the difficulties that life throws at us, knowing that at that moment we can be identified with Christ in his suffering. This is, again, one of the basic features of the spirituality of communion or unity of the focolare, the key to unity, it's called. And the kingdom of God, in summary, is actually the forsaken and crucified Christ who we meet every day in every suffering, personal, or in the suffering of others, or in this world outside ourselves that gets us down. There is the chance to go beyond that suffering by continuing to act out of love and continuing to hope in love. And that's precisely what these dialogues that you've been engaged in have been doing. I am sure that those who have been in these symposiums of dialogue over the past 15 years or so will know what I mean. But what joy is evident among those who participated in them, and you'll find it in this book, real joy among the participants. It is clearly there. Another reason, good reason to buy it and read it. In fact, one of the points that was made by Maria Voce, the present president of the Focolare movement, that I heard this summer, was that in the local communities of Christians and others who know the Focolare movement, all over this world of ours, which they're spread everywhere, should make it a priority to go and visit the local mosques and the other places of worship of other religions. I have yet to do so. As my friend the imam in Leyland says, I should go to Friday prayers at 12:45. It's an awkward time for me because we have Mass at that time. But I'm going to try and do so there more. And anyway, I can't do it this week. I've got a funeral that day. So I'm hoping to achieve that aim. There are many other encouraging things in this book, like the question of what do we mean by community? What is the relationship of the individual person to community? What is the community relationship to an individual person from both the Christian and the Muslim point of view? But I'm not going to mention those things. That is my contribution on this occasion, and I hope and pray that these dialogues will continue. I'm not sure I'm at the right level to be there. You've noticed I've not really spoken too much theology or anything like that. But I do am interested in it, and I do understand it, but I'm not sure how articulate I could be. And I hope it bears much fruit together with the new Islamic Institute for England that Dr. Muhammad Ali is now leading here in London. Thank you very much. Thank you.